Welcome to Parc Fermé, the Canadian Formula One podcast.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to Parc Fermé, the Canadian Formula One podcast. My name is Drew, and I'm here with the boys, Eddie and Tomas, and we are ready to kick it off. Okay, this week, what are we going to get into today, boys? I think we should start off with the Saudi Grand Prix review. What did you guys think of the race?
Typical. Max Verstappen won again. Really good racing. It was a fast track. I was expecting Red Bull to be a really quick car for this certain track. I was expecting McLaren and Ferrari to be really fast on this one. And thank God Leclerc's brakes weren't locking up anymore on every corner. So that's a plus. But the real highlight for me actually was two things. Haas being six in the constructors. That's unheard of. And the new kid, Ollie Bearman, scoring points. Indicative of another De Vries situation, we may not know. A lot of people are raving about him, even at Parc Fermé, our esteemed hero, Lewis Hamilton, giving him a dab and giving him props to how he was able to race really well. But all in all, another Red Bull takeaway. It's probably going to be another year of just who's going to win second place, maybe drivers or constructors.
Yeah, I thought it was an all right race. Nothing too special. I think I came pretty close to the prediction that we made last episode. What really stood out to me this race was obviously the new kid. I thought he did really, really well. The Haas strategy, how they played it off, that was interesting. The 20-second penalty, that was definitely fun too. It wasn't as bad or as typical as I thought it's gonna be. I mean, honestly, Red Bull won too, so there's that. Overall, a solid 6 out of 10 in my books. So yeah,
okay, that's not bad. And we have a tough Thomas critic, so like I appreciate that. That's 6 out of 10 is not a bad race. You know what? I thought the same thing. You know what? Like, I think the reality is coming. It's hitting home a little bit that like Red Bull is going to have it again this year. You know that car is far and away the better car. But what I've kind of noticed too is that like you know between Red Bull and Ferrari, there's a big gap. But I'm kind of seeing a larger gap kind of pulling away where like Ferrari, especially with Leclerc in the car, they're pulling away from McLaren and Mercedes in a big way. And, you know, with that same kind of gap between McLaren and Mercedes to Ferrari, I'm also seeing Aston Martin kind of fall away a little bit. And I think that's becoming a reality as well. But that's a good segue because you guys both mentioned Ollie Bearman and I think it was an absolutely fantastic race by the young gun rookie, you know, with an hour in the car in FP3 getting called up from F2. You know, like, what do you guys think about Ollie Bearman in his F1 debut? And what do you think that means for his future in Formula One?
Well, I can say that definitely gave really good marks for him in terms of like being able to transition into Formula One. Because of the amount of time that he had to kind of like adapt to how to drive the car. He knows the circuit because he's raced in that in F2. But having a Ferrari and understanding how to drive it and being able to apply and score points. And mind you, one thing that people gloss over a lot specifically for this race, he held back Lando and Lewis. He made sure to keep those two gunners behind him. The entire, like I know in one of his interviews, the last few laps, his stint was focus on the race, look at the mirrors, and keep, you know, dropping the hammer every single lap. And he did. So that's a good signifier. Now, who knows, maybe he might get a seat next year, because a lot of drivers are losing their seats. Not a lot of, like, you know, solidified seats for 2025, but we'll never know. It really, really depends now on the team managers and the team principals, rather. If they're going to bite the bullet and see if they can bring in Ollie. I mean, that's another thing too with Antonelli, because we were talking about it a few episodes back. Like, is it time to bring up these new hungry young guns into the main show, or develop them a little bit more on F2? Only time will tell, yeah. Because they've seen it happen with De Vries, and everyone knew how that crashed and burned. So,
I mean,
but, I don't know.
But take this in. Hold on. Do you think the love that Ollie Bearman's getting is, like, justified? Like, okay, let's say, yeah,
it is.
I'll give him it. Like, right away, he jumped into the car and he did a fantastic job. But do you think that, like, circumstantially, like, you know, the way that that qualies went, that, like, he didn't make it into Q3, do you think that helped him? Because, like, the way that the grid kind of lined up, and the fact that, like, Lewis and Lando didn't pit because they started on different tires and went with that different strategy, and then they both kind of had to, like, start back when they finally did do their pit. Like, do you think that that worked for him and gave him a little bit of an edge on Lando and Lewis that he shouldn't or wouldn't have had in another circumstance? Like, if he was on the same strat, like, all three of them, do you think that that would have happened? Because I personally don't think, you know, in arguably the second fastest car on the grid, that, like, he did anything over and above just making sure he didn't crash the car.
That's a good,
you know, point, what I mean, actually. Like, just to put it on the other side, like, do I love it? Yeah. Is it amazing that he jumped in the car and did, like, I think what's the most impressive was how competitive he was, be it that he's never been in a Formula One car before. Like, that to me is just bananas. Like, hey kid, I know you've never driven one of these cars before, but you're racing right now. Like, that to me is an impressive thing. But, like, you know, I think there's a lot of circumstances around him. Cause, like, let's take Charles Leclerc. Look how far away he was in third place there behind the Red Bulls. Like, in theory, that's what the car should have been able to do. Like, he had the second fastest car on the grid. If you put any monkey in that Ferrari, they should have done well, be it, like, they didn't crash the car. I don't know. I'm just trying to play the devil's advocate on this one. Cause, like, I think he's gotten a lot of love, and I think well deserved. But I also think that, like, there's a lot of circumstances that kind of played out there in his favor. What do you got on that one, Thomas?
He definitely deserved all the love he got. He showed for it his debut in F1 and to score points, you know, to keep Lewis behind. I mean, that's a pretty big fucking achievement in my book. Was there a lot of external factors? Yeah, there was. Did he get lucky? For sure, there was some luck involved. I think that, you know, what you just said, he basically got thrown in and it was almost a sink or swim situation. And he swam so well. He didn't crash the car. He scored points. He was very competitive. He kept, you know, these other professional drivers that have been in F1 for quite some time behind him.
Not quite some time, dude. Like a 7-time world champion. It's exactly.
A little more than quite some time.
Yeah, so in my books, it's well-deserved praise. To Ed's point, I don't think this is going to be a De Vries situation. I mean, first of all, De Vries was in AlphaTauri, which is Red Bull, so they're a little bit more harsher. I don't see that happening in Ferrari. Now, do I think he might get a chance or might get a seat next year? I mean, it would be nice to see, but I don't think so. I think they're going to go with someone more mature. Does he deserve a seat? Hell yeah. Hell yeah, he does. Just the way he performed this race.
Isn't Ferrari's, like, little kind of farm team, isn't that Haas? Like, isn't he just gonna, you know, gonna go over to Haas for next season? I think that's probably the best play for Ollie Bearman.
Either of the two. I think it's Kik Sauber and
where else is he gonna Haas. Go?
Yeah.
Right? Because they he got might, all their eggs in the Haas. In Hamilton.
Yeah, he might go to Haas. Because, like, if let's say both K-Mag and Hulk really don't, like, pan out well this year, and but looks like they are, but too early to say. We'll see what happens.
But let's segue this into another great question. Let's go right to, okay, so Haas, they're going to kick out one and they're going to bring in Ollie Bearman because that's what Ferrari orders are. Who's going, Hulkenberg or K-Mag?
K-Mag.
K-Mag.
Yeah, I'm with K-Mag. You guys on that one. I think that's a universal vote. K-Mag, you're gone. You're gone. Sorry, bud. It is what it is. Okay, well, let's take this another direction. I think, you know, Ollie Bearman, hats off to him. Congratulations, dude. You're an absolute animal. But, you know, we talked about, you know, the different strategies that McLaren and Mercedes were running with Lewis Hamilton and Lando Norris, you know, going on a different set of tires. Do you think that them banking on another safety car, or virtual safety car, was the play? Because, like, that's ultimately what was happening. Like, historically speaking, like, you know, obviously we had our safety car come in on lap 8 with our homeboy Canadian, Lance Stroll, just giving the little wall a little smoochy smooch. Also, can we talk about his race director, his race engineer, calling him on the radio, be like, hey, yeah, could you bring it back to the pits? And he's like,
no, I crashed. No,
I'm currently in a wall. I thought that was quite funny. But, you know, obviously those guys are watching charts and data and all that stuff. I'm sure they weren't real live on the onboard. But what do you guys think about that call? Like, do you think they kind of, you know, shit the bed on banking on that virtual safety car, that safety car?
I would say that Mercedes, I think, was banking on that because they put Lewis on softs and he was going to go all the way to the end. And if there was another safety car, because he was like pulling laps with the softs, he would have probably like gone through a few more places. I would expect him to be possibly either in front of George, right behind Oscar, also in front of Fernando. But yeah, I'd probably say like too little too late at that point. There wasn't any issues. I mean, Jeddah in itself is a fast track, but those corners, man, are just like, if you make one mistake, you'll bump into one and bump into the next few corners. Cause I tried it on my sim and it's just, it's a fast track, but if you don't get it right, you go bonk, 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 and you get your tilt sign on top. You're playing pinball. You're not playing Formula One.
Fair enough.
Tomas?
Yeah. They were banking on it. Didn't work out in their favor. I don't like that strategy, how every team is like, you know, hopefully we get a safety car. And it almost doesn't seem to work out in their favor just when, you know, they're hoping and it just never happens, or they miss their opportunity. I think they should have had a different play. Didn't do the right choice in my books. They should have stopped and should have got it earlier or a little bit later, but for what they did, it didn't make sense in my eyes.
You know what? I have to say, like, I think statistically speaking, the numbers worked. It made sense. Like, for them to have two safety cars in that course, like, that made sense. And you know what? They put all their eggs in a basket, and unfortunately, like, you know, they had to split the difference and put George on a better strat. But ultimately, like, it just didn't play out, and that's tough luck for Lewis. But I think he had... you know what? I think the reality is that you saw the ultimate pace of that car, like the very real true race pace of that car. And like, you know, that brings me to my next point. Like now that Red Bull's like far and away the faster car, like what do you think that stacks up? And what do you think that looks like for Ferrari, Mercedes and McLaren, you know, who are clearly the next three? Do you think that McLaren and Mercedes have a chance to catch up this year to Ferrari? Because like by the looks of it, they're way ahead of them this year.
Sorry, you said like McLaren versus Mercedes?
Yeah, like what do you think their plan is? Like how do you think that they're going to be able to catch up? Do you think that that's going to be possible, like to catch up to Ferrari? Obviously, Ferrari's not catching Red Bull. That's quite clear. Like you'd need another, you know, engine in that car, third engine in that car for it to work, right? So like, you know, what do you think that Mercedes and McLaren are going to have to do to catch up to Ferrari? Like that's a big gap.
I don't think it's going to happen. That's the thing. I don't think it's going to happen that they're going to be able to catch up to Red Bull and then for McLaren and Mercedes. I don't know, like the Mercedes in general, like they were having like power issues, and George pretty much like drove the wheels off of that car to get to his position of sixth place. And Oscar Piastri, same thing. They both just like good strategy, like really pushing the car to its limits to be able to get the result that they had. I think like the mid-pack battle between Mercedes, McLaren, possibly even Aston Martin, because Fernando like had a good result also for Jeddah. I think that's the race that we should be watching. That's what everyone should be watching now. Red Bull's going to take this away, and there has to be something that either McLaren with their like fantastic wind tunnel, or Mercedes Total Wolf blowing some smoke up the ass of that W15, and hopefully it becomes faster. Who knows, really, at this point. So we'll see next few races and before the the mid-season break. Tomas, what do you think?
I'm pretty much with that on that. I don't think, or a very slim chance that they're actually going to catch Ferrari. I think it's going to be more or less what we've seen last year. I think McLaren and Mercedes are going to have a tough battle. And same thing with that. I think Aston Martin might come into play, but still a little bit too early to tell. I don't know. It's going to be very interesting. What can they do? They could try opposite strategies. You know, obviously they don't know each other's strategies, but maybe, you know, when the race or when the GP happens, you know, try to doing, let's say maybe an opposite strategy or pit earlier, try to get ahead of your team. But I really don't know what Gate can do to get to catch up to Ferrari besides just get luckier and hope Ferrari shits the bed with an engine or gearbox problem or a crash. That's it. I think it's down to luck at this point.
Well, let me pose you guys this question then. Like, if you guys had to put all your money in the McLaren or the Mercedes basket right now, where would that go?
Oh, shit. good question. I'm guessing we can't do 50-50, obviously. Nope.
Where's your money going? Like, do you think Oscar and Lando are going to beat out George and Hammy?
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to go with that. Yeah, I'm going to go with that, first of all, because I still don't really like George Russell that much. That's some reason number one. But based on facts as well, it would be nice to see McLaren more on the podium or in the higher places, just to see Oscar's face and Lando's face there. So that's my reasoning.
I mean, did you guys see the battle between Lewis and Oscar? Every time, Oscar was like on his ass in the corner. and then you'll see Lewis go 1-2 when he's not supposed to. He kind of like slowly inches a little bit to the outside of the apex and then dives right in. So he's got the defense on lock on that end. But every time, Oscar was on his wing. So that's the reason I'm seeing like little sparks of this could be something. This could be really insane. So we'll see. But yeah, my money's on McLaren.
All right, I'm with you guys on this one. I'm a Mercedes fanboy through and through, and I think that I'd like to, but if my money's on the line, I'd have to go with McLaren this year. It's just looking like a better car. And you know, McLaren started off this year kind of right where they left off last year. And, you know, at this time last year, I think they got a DNF and a P17 in this race, right? So, like, they were not looking so hot. So I think, you know, if McLaren continues to improve at the same rate they did last year, and Mercedes continues to improve at the same rate they did last year, I think it's far and away going to be a McLaren year over Mercedes. Now, do I think McLaren's going to catch up with Ferrari? Don't think so. I really don't think that's going to happen. But the reality is that, like, you know, Ferrari seems to have a lot of, you know, reliability issues, right? And that seems to be their downfall. And that car has been very touchy historically. And, you know, we're only two races in, but, you know, it's looking pretty nice right now. And they fixed that lockup problem that Leclerc was having. And hopefully Mr. Sainz is all better from his appendicitis. He should be faster. He's technically weighs less now that he doesn't have an appendix in there, right? So if you want to look at...
He just had a smooth operation.
Yeah, he had a smooth operation. We like that. We like that. Okay, so now that we've got all the... That. Oh, he's been sitting on that all day. You know this guy's been thinking about that all day. You know what? It was good. I'll give it to you. It was a smooth operation. I'll give it to you. Okay, the race jargon's out of the way. Let's get into some of the behind-the-scenes stuff that's been going on. You know, we've discussed it earlier in the first couple podcasts of the year that, like, obviously this is going to be a max runaway this year, but the most exciting things that have been going on at Red Bull besides winning has been some of that nitty-gritty going on with Christian Horner and that whole controversy going on with that, you know, the assistant that he had that now has been suspended, all that kind of stuff. I have heard that Max publicly said that, you know, if Helmut Marko goes, that he's going to leave too. And, you know, Max has been very political in his career talking about, you know, what or thinking about what he says before he says it. He's never really picked sides. He's very Switzerland in terms of, you know, saying what is ultra political in terms of like what he wants to, what he wants the public to know and what his opinions are of things. And so I guess my question to you guys is, you know, do you think Max would really leave if Helmut Marko goes? Because that seems like it's actually might happen. And, you know, what do you think the reality is of Horner actually firing him? Because what I've heard too is that Horner said, you know, we're not really worried about Max. Like, he hasn't said this publicly, but kind of like how he's been presenting this is that, like, you know, if Max goes, we have a number of drivers that are like top shelf that are willing to take Max's seat. And is he really going to walk away from a winning car like that? What do you guys think about, you know, this whole controversy? And do you think Max would go if they ended up firing Helmut Marko?
I think he would, because like Helmut Marko has been instrumental in the gradual promotion of Max from Toro Rosso into Red Bull, and like systemically has been like grooming this kid from the get-go. If I know anything from the antics of Max Verstappen complaining about too many races, it feels like showbiz at this point. It's no longer just racing. So I feel like he has that like old school mentality. He might leave. Yeah, that's going to be a big blow, even if Christian Horner says, no, we have like a slew of different drivers that will take his seat any day of the week. That's just him just doing, you know, press and be like, yeah, we can survive without you. Nah, you can't.
Do you think he couldn't? Do you think someone like Carlos Sainz couldn't jump in that seat and do a just as good of a job?
He was in Toro Rosso. And it was all right. The thing is, like, the car in itself, that's why even Sergio Perez is having a hard time with the car, is that it's the way Max drives and the way he compensates for what the car lacks, and he puts another level to this car. That's why it's able to perform. I mean, the car is great in itself. Don't get me wrong. That's why Sergio Perez is second place. It's a 1-2 with Red Bull. But Max is a different level. He's, for me, and this might be super controversial, but he's like a mix between Ayrton Senna and Alain Prost. Ayrton Senna, he's like dive bombing, aggressive. You take the corner or you crash. You choose. Max is the same thing. But Max also has that panache and that understanding of Formula One and the politics and playing it to his advantage. So that's why I think he's the perfect storm. So you pair that with a fantastic car, like, that's it. That is he's going to run through everyone. So
if it sounds like Ed's a fanboy of Max Verstappen. Like, is that
no,
just
what I'm getting to? Yeah.
I'm thinking we got a conversion here.
No, 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 no. He's converted him. 2021. 2021.
Okay, we're all
going
back.
Oh my god, don't even.
Oh, 2021. But okay.
Okay, Thomas, what do you got on this one, buddy? What do you got on this one? What do you think? Do you think Max is going to go if Helmut Marko goes? Like, do you think Horner is going to call his bluff and get rid of Helmut Marko and just not worry about if Max leaves?
I honestly think yes. If Helmut leaves, Max is going to follow him. I kind of secretly wish that actually does happen and does come true because, you know, my own personal opinions and what's been going on with Helmut Marko, he said some things that weren't politically correct per se or old fashioned. I
call it what it is. He's a fucking racist.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yes, he's a fucking racist.
He's a fucking racist.
I do know the, you know, the contributions he did to Max and Red Bull team and all that stuff, and they're huge contributions. But I think, man, like, you're fucking 80 years old. Time for you to retire and just chill and be with your wife, man. Like, you're gonna die soon anyways. Oh shit. So
that got dark.
Yeah, so I think he should retire. And you know what? If Max leaves, great. Maybe F1 will actually get interesting again. Maybe there's actually gonna be some fighting. And I hope that actually does happen. So yes, if Helmut leaves, Max is going to leave. I have a feeling he's not bluffing. And, from what Christian Horner is saying, we have a whole slew of drivers. I do believe that too. I think they do have a lot. It's Red Bull, man. Who the fuck wouldn't want to drive for Red Bull? Yeah, exactly. So yeah, they're going to have drivers. They're going to get someone in. Is it going to be as successful as Max Verstappen? Time will tell. Probably not at first, but who knows? But yeah, that'd be an interesting play to see.
Okay. I want short answers because I have a double follow-up question for you guys. Where do you think Max is going to go? And who do you think is going to replace Max? Ed.
Wow, that's tough.
Do you need a moment to think about it? Thomas.
Yeah, I need a moment. I need a moment. Okay. I need a moment.
Okay, so my ideal thing would have been Alonso to Mercedes, but let's say this shit happens right now, Max to Mercedes. Who's going to replace Max at Red Bull? I want to say Sainz.
Okay, Ed, now that you've had a couple of moments to think about it, that's the kind of speedy answer I want, though. I like it, Thomas. I like it.
McLaren.
Max to McLaren. Okay, and who's going to replace Max at Red Bull?
Piastri.
Piastri. Okay. Yeah, okay.
Interesting.
Good call on that. Okay, I would say Max would have to go to Mercedes just because I think his big race energy would want to show Lewis that you can win in this Mercedes anyway. He would just want to get into this car. And who's going to replace Max? I think Fernando Alonso would replace Max at
Red Bull.
Just for like a 1-year banger, just before this, you know, the whole rule change and the whole, you know, regulation change and stuff like that. I'd love to see Fernando Alonso just absolutely crush it in a Red Bull.
That would be a sight to see, man. Alonso in the Red Bull, damn.
Be fire. Absolutely fire. All right, let's keep this moving. I want to hear both of your best driver of the day and a quick why. Let's go, Eddie.
Oscar Piastri. I already said it earlier, that battle between him and Lewis, that just bodes a lot in terms of like how good he is of a driver.
Okay, I like it. Thomas, what do you got? Driver of the day.
I'm going to say Ollie. He just did such a amazing impression on me, just the way he drove, being a rookie driving a Ferrari, scoring points, that's huge in my book. You know, it might not be the popular opinion, Ollie's my guy.
All right, Ollie, I'm gonna go with Charles Leclerc. I think that that podium was well deserved. I think that, you know, everything that he did going up to that race, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on in the background for him in terms of like Carlos Sainz getting sick, Ollie Bearman coming in. There was a lot of eyes on Ferrari. And I know that there can be a lot of pressure as soon as things like are out of the quote unquote norm. And that track is not something that Ferrari has done super well at. And I just think that, you know, he kept it together. He kept his head cool. And obviously, you know, Ferrari helped fix a bunch of those problems. But I think that, I think he was an absolutely phenom on that track last week. So, yeah, my hat goes off to Mr. Chuckles Labacos, my guy. Okay, let's do a hot take on the worst driver of the day. Eddie, what do you got?
Oh, my gosh. I would have to say Daniel Ricciardo. Like, all the crap that he was saying to Yuki about, like, the post-race in Bahrain. I mean, I will have to admit that I kept on saying that Danny Ricciardo is going to come back. He's going to kill it. But he's not. So, with everything that's for him, the new RB car, yeah, Yuki's faster. So, that's my worst driver of the day.
All right, Tomas, what do you got, my guy?
So, I got two, but I'm going to narrow it down to one. One of them was Valtteri Bottas. Shitty performance. Obviously, he got a little bit unlucky too, but disappointing. Disappointing start to the season. But I'm going to go the same way. I'm going to go Danny Ric. Like, man, I expected better from him. Again, maybe shitty luck, shitty timing, but this a fucking appointment, man.
I'm with you. I'm going to make that a unanimous vote. I am going to have a caveat because I think that we need to talk about someone other than Danny. Where are you on the grid, Ric? And he just really needs to, he needs to figure it out. You know, this poor old boy is looking kind of like he was at McLaren, just absolutely lost in that car. And it's actually kind of sad because I know how bad myself, you guys, and everyone in the world wants him to just absolutely get in that car and smash it. But Yuki is driving the tires off that car. And I think that there's just like, there's a big disconnect with Danny in Formula One right now. And unfortunately, that's in his driving. But like I said, as far as that caveat's concerned, I also want to put, like, I don't know how this did not get mentioned, but like Lance Stroll, like, dude, you knew where that wall was. Nobody else seemed to hit that wall. You know, like, obviously there was a couple in qualies in FP3. There was a couple of little smooches on that wall. But, you know, he hit that hard. And, like, you know, the reality is like, you know, we saw where Alonso finished and we knew what that car was absolutely 100% capable. You know what I mean? Like, if Fernando's in fifth place in that car, obviously he's an outstanding driver, but, like, you should have been scoring points, dude. And I think he's really, really, really letting down that team. So that kind of sucks. That's all the points I had for today, boys. That's all the topic that that I had caught, like, kicking off. Did you guys have anything that you guys wanted to bring up in this?
I mean, we kind of talked about this already, but man, Red Bull, what a shitstorm, eh?
Yeah, I don't know how bad I would like to be on the Red Bull crew right now. Like, I think it's just so distracting in terms of, like, you know, we're here to race. And I saw a clip of Christian Horner in an interview, and he was talking to some of the journalists that were there, and they were asking him questions. And, you know, he kind of just, like, bit back for the first time and said, listen, like, enough's enough. This has been put to bed. You know, we did our internal investigation. Everything's been put to bed. But, like, you know, he apologized to the other guys up there, Toto Wolff, you know, Freddie Vasseur. And he's just like, you know, these guys came here to answer questions about Formula One and about racing. And you guys are all up here asking me about, you know, this indiscretion that happened or whatever. And I can imagine that being very distracting. And, like, somebody like Max, it's just like, you know, he's straight shooting about racing. Like, he doesn't care for any of this nonsense. And Checo's over here trying to just, like, comfortably land in a second place and collect a paycheck. Like, he's not about this shit either. And so I can imagine it being very distracting. And, like, you know, I'm sure anyone on that Red Bull team has some serious NDAs that they signed because they don't want to be talking about this shit. But, like,
I honestly have a feeling it's such a toxic place to be there right now at this moment with everything that happened, you know, like what we talked about last episode, internal investigation gets closed, bam, the leaks come out. Then they suspend the female that's the accuser or something, whatever. Like, it's just not a good look all over the place. And now, like, this bullshit with Helmut Marko and Max Verstappen, there's so much shit going on. And, you know, me personally, I'm looking at Red Bull as a team. I'm looking at it through a different lens, and I'm like, holy shit, you know, this was like an exemplary team. Like, they were on their A game. They had their shit together. And then, like, you know, shit rolls from the top, and you know, started with Christian Horner and just everything piece by piece, and you're like, okay, that's toxic, and it's like being part of, I can only imagine, and you know, I can almost feel what it's like to be, you know, in that team, just with the amount of shit that's going on, and it must not be a great feeling.
But they're winning.
That's the thing.
So they're far, winning.
It doesn't matter.
They're winning. No, by a lot. Like, not even a little. Like, by a lot.
I have no sympathies. They're winning a lot.
No,
I have no sympathies. Yeah, like,
maybe are they just trying to create some reason to talk about them? Because, like, I have to say, like, you know, if I was a sponsor for Red Bull and I paid X amount of dollars to have my name on Max Verstappen's car, I'd be really cheesed about the lack of airtime that I'm getting on television, because they're not even following him on TV anymore. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of this
stuff. He's so far ahead on his own.
Yeah. Okay. So, what about your boy, Joel Grandjean? What about Joel Grandjean? What do you think about what do you think about his race?
I don't think he deserves any airtime on this podcast.
You don't think so? You hate Joel Grandjean that much?
I don't hate him. I don't like him, but I didn't see anything impressive about him. So I don't even know what to talk about him. I mean,
well, I'm just saying, like, cool him rate. And Bottas got, like, essentially last place. Let's call it what it is. Like, the only people, like, both of those cars ended up in 17th and 18th.
You know what? Like, I have no words. They're having such a shitty start to the season. And obviously some, you know, when they stopped, there was some mistakes there too. But, like, man, I was really high for them. Like, I was with you, Drew. They have such a cool car, such a cool livery, yeah. Like that bright green highlight. I'm like, man, I want to see these guys in the midfield, you know? And their fucking last two races, 2-for-2. It's like, come on, man. Like,
yeah, it's pretty bad. It's not a good start. Not a good look for them.
If Haas is doing better than you, it's really bad.
It's really bad. Yeah,
it's really bad.
Yeah. Like, I just don't think it's a combination, I think, of, you know, inexperience of Joel Grandjean and the lack of fucks that Bottas gives about driving a Formula One car. I think is the combination of that and a bad car that are just like, it's just not a good look, right? Because, like, we talked about how Danny Ric was the least impressive. All of us agreed that Danny Ric was the least impressive guy on that grid. And that guy still beat both of them.
Yeah. And that says a lot.
Wait,
the way Bottas, like, is just taking a bad backseat in Formula One, it's kind of annoying me and pissing me off. You know, he dyed his hair. He has that hippie look. And like you said, Drew, maybe, you know, he's in a shitty car and just lost his drive. But I don't know. Like, I expected, again, bigger and better things from him, at least to, like, try to put up a fight. But from what it seems like, he's not even really putting up a fight anymore.
No, he's just he's coasting right now. And those two drivers, I just have this feeling that Bottas is there because he was just, like, you know, a really good driver at Mercedes, so he's consistent. Joel Grandjean brings in a little bit more dollars into the team, and they're in like this big rift right now of where are they going to be next year, or who's going to be, is Audi going to be coming in, and all these other things, which is probably another episode we're going to discuss. But, like, at this point, like, the writing is now on the wall that Haas is doing better. Alpine is continuing to shit the bed. And now Kick Sauber is joining the team. And I think RB, Visa Cash App RB, whatever that whatever you want to call it, they're, like, right smack in the middle of all that shit. So I'm just happy for Haas where they are right now.
I think it's official right now that that Audi is now buying 100% of Sauber in 2026. It's not going to be the Audi Sauber team. I think it's going to be 100% Audi.
Audi, yeah.
But I definitely want to get into that a little bit more in another episode, because I think that being a manufacturer car instead of instead of something like a half and half kind of idea, or like having Kick and all these other sponsors being in there. I think, you know, being a 100% manufacturer car might do them some good, because I know that Audi's got some good stuff cooking already. But any other comments or anything before we wrap up this week's episode? Obviously, our homeboy Walker's not here, because I would really, really like to do a name that sponsor, but can't do it, man. What can I say?
Just wanted to touch base on one of your reviews that I haven't seen this, but one of your points was Horner posting a Mother's Day Instagram post about Spice Girl and leaving the comments on. Let's hear, Drew. What do you think about that one?
I thought that was quite brave. So in case anyone didn't hear what Thomas was talking about, Christian Horner, posted something about Jerry and his wife, and he posted a Mother's Day post on Instagram, and he left the comments on. So immediately, like a good internet troll does, I went right into the comments. That is not a good place. That is not a safe place to be. The internet comment section is a dangerous, dangerous place. And I think that that was quite brave of him, to a very stupid point, because I know that, you know, being on social media and stuff like that is a dangerous game, because, you know, there's a lot of critics out there. And I opened that up, and the first two comments were just having Christian Horner on blast. And like, rightfully so. I don't know. I thought that was a pretty brave move on his part. What do you guys got on that?
I have not seen the comments, but you have piqued my interest, good sir. So after this podcast, guess what I'm going to do?
Do yourself that favor. Do yourself that favor. Give yourself 10, 15 minutes while you're on the shitter. Do yourself that favor and go do a deep dive in that comment section, because they light him up.
The thing is, though, I don't know how it'd feel like that. That's definitely brave on Christian Horner's part, but like, I don't know if that's a smart move.
No, it's not. It wasn't a smart move at all.
But it wasn't a smart move. Christian Horner's, again, like, he's the longest team principal, longstanding team principal in Formula One. So he's been there. He's done that. He doesn't give two shits about internet trolls.
As Drew would say, he doesn't give a fuck.
Negative Fox. Zero. Fox minus one. Okay, guys, that's it for us. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Got to do this right now. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share, jump in the Discord. All the stuff will be in our show notes. But really want to say thank you guys for listening. This is Park Ferme, the Canadian Formula One podcast. Catch you guys next week as we do a preview for the Australian Grand Prix. Yeah, looking forward to that very much, guys. Anything else to say before we go?
12 days.
Thanks for tuning in. And see you on YouTube. See you on the podcast. See you everywhere, wherever you're listening. Love you guys.